Good morning, everyone. While it's loading, I'll just introduce myself. I'm Helen Chin, and I'm an ORISE Research Fellow at the Community Guide. Today, I'll be presenting a systematic review on interventions to prevent adolescent pregnancy, HIV, and other sexually transmitted infections. If you were at the plenary this morning, they did mention the comprehensive risk reduction interventions and abstinence education interventions that the Guide to Community Preventive Services Task Force made recommendations on. So that is the those two reviews are what I'll be presenting on today. So there's a little shorthand, so I'll be referring to comprehensive risk reduction as CRR this morning, and abstinence education as AE. So this is our usual community guide disclaimer. Here's our coordination team for this systematic review. It included one task force member, Dr. Robert Johnson, including a number of community guide staff. It also included members from other parts of CDC, academia, independent research organizations, and other groups with experience and expertise in adolescent health. I'd like to note that we did have representation from abstinence and risk reduction groups on this team. So this slide just broadly describes the types of interventions that we included. The interventions had to be group-based. They had to be delivered to adolescents. We define that as 10 to 19 years old. And the intervention had to focus on promoting behaviors that protect against or reduce the risk of pregnancy, HIV, and other sexually transmitted infections. So here is the definition that we used for our review of CRR interventions. And the types of interventions that we included as CRR fell into three broad categories, and I'll just describe those briefly. The first were those that implied a hierarchy of recommended behaviors. So they said abstinence was the best or preferred method, but they also provided information on risk reduction strategies. The second group we reviewed were those that promoted abstinence and risk reduction without placing one approach above another. And the last group, and by far the smallest group of interventions that we reviewed, were those that primarily or solely promoted sexual risk reduction strategies. So here's our definition for AE interventions, and it's much narrower. They're group-based interventions delivered to adolescents that teach abstinence, either delayed initiation or abstinence until marriage. And they mention condoms or other birth control methods only to highlight their failure rates, if at all. Within this broader definition were a subset of interventions that did meet the federal A through H guidelines, which are the guidelines necessary to receive abstinence funding, which are much stricter than the definition we used to describe our abstinence studies. So here on slide 8, we have the analytic framework for our reviews, and the analytic framework identifies the ways in which we expect these interventions to influence the ultimate health outcomes of interest, which are on the boxes on the far right of the slide. So those are reduced pregnancy rates and reduced HIV and STI rates. So for the abstinence education interventions, we expect them only to influence the reduced sexual activity outcomes, as indicated by the single line at the top of the analytic framework. However, we expect the CRR interventions both to influence the reduced sexual activity and reduced sexual behaviors outcomes, because they're addressing both things. So we had four key research questions for our review. Because of the abbreviated presentation today, I'll mostly just be addressing the first two. Our group-based CRR interventions for adolescents effective in reducing sexual activity, sexual risk behaviors to prevent, and sexual risk behaviors to prevent HIV, other STIs in pregnancy, and then the same question for the AE interventions. So this is how I'll present the data. First, I'll go over the summary statistics for each of the outcomes for the review, then I'll talk about the effect modifiers and what our team thought was important for applicability for each of these reviews. So I'll go through the CRR data first, and then I'll go through the AE data. So CRR. This table shows the body of evidence for CRR. It's a standard table we use in all of our community guide reviews. The columns separate the studies by suitability of study design. All of our studies were of greatest suitability of design because they had a concurrent comparison group, which our team felt was important since we're looking at an age group that is rapidly changing, that we needed a concurrent comparison group in order to include those studies in our review. In the rows are quality of execution. We look at threats to validity in the studies and give them limitations on a scale of 0 to 9 limitations. So this just breaks down the number of limitations each study had. Least design suitability studies and limited quality of execution studies were excluded from further analysis. So this is a table of our meta-analytic results for each of the outcome variables we examined. It's a very packed slide, so first I'm just going to go over what's on the slide and then I'll go over some of the data. So the first column has the outcomes that were listed in our analytic framework. The second column is the K, or the number of effect sizes for each outcome. The third column is the number of study arms. The fourth column is the overall weighted means odds ratio, which is the effect estimate that we used for this meta-analysis. So odds ratios less than 1, when you look at this slide, favor the intervention, except for the outcomes that are highlighted in blue, which are the protection outcomes, which include a barrier or hormonal method or simultaneous use of both. And we would want an increase in these types of behaviors, so odds ratios greater than 1 for these outcomes are in the favorable direction. The next column over is the 95% confidence interval, which if it does not cross 1, indicates statistical significance. And the last column on the table is the estimated relative risk. So if we look at sexual activity all the way down through the condom use outcome and the sexually transmitted infections outcome, we see that all of these effect estimates are in the favorable direction and all of them are statistically significant. If we look at sexual activity, if we look at the RR for that, it roughly translates into a 12% decrease in sexual activity, because I know ORs are hard to interpret. And if we look at the protection outcome, we see roughly a 13% increase in use of protection among this group. For the other outcomes, oral contraceptive use, pregnancy, and dual use, all of the outcomes are in the favorable direction, but they were not statistically significant. So if we turn back to the first research question, these summary data suggest that CRR interventions are effective in reducing the behavioral outcomes that we were interested in, and there's some direct evidence that they do reduce STIs in adolescents. So I just want to give you a little bit more information on one of the outcomes to demonstrate the variability among the studies that our team had some concerns about. So the next slide is the scatter plot for the sexual activity outcome. The key point to note from this forest plot is that there's a good deal of variability or heterogeneity, as you can see just visually, around the overall weighted mean effect size. We tested the level of heterogeneity using the I-squared statistic, and it's 68%. Anything above 50% indicates a high level of heterogeneity, so we did have a lot of heterogeneity for this outcome and for some of the other outcomes included in this review, and I'll come back to this later on in the presentation. So our team identified 12 critical variables, and they fell into population, intervention, and study characteristics. We examined all of these variables in subgroup analyses and meta-analysis, and we did not find any consistent pattern across any of the outcomes for any of these variables. But we did find some notable results that I'll just talk about briefly. For gender, when we looked at the sexual activity outcome and for the protection outcome, for the studies that reported sexual activity or protection by gender so we could do within-study comparisons, we did see that there was a smaller effect for males or for females compared to males, and this did approach statistical significance, so it's possible that these interventions are more effective for males than females, although I'll just note again that this was not a consistent pattern across all of the outcomes, just for those two. The second thing I want to note here is for setting, in regards to the STI results, the majority of our STI results came from the community setting. These tended to be more high-risk adolescents. Some of them were recruited in the clinical population. And so it's important to note that it's possible that these results may not be applicable to the school setting, even though when we looked at schools by themselves, they did also show a similar effect, but they had a much wider confidence interval. The last thing I want to point out on this slide is study design. We did stratify by non-randomized control trial and randomized control trial. So on this slide is the table of that stratification, and as you can see, there's no consistent pattern of one being better than the other when we look at non-RCT versus RCT. The only statistically significant difference between RCTs and non-RCTs came from the pregnancy outcome. So that was the only one that was statistically significant, but there was no pattern across all of the outcomes. But I wanted to present this slide to serve as a point of comparison when I present the abstinence data. So this is our task force recommendation. I won't read it out because time is limited, but they did recommend CRR interventions for adolescents as being effective. They did take the high level of heterogeneity into consideration. We did have a big enough effect, and it was meaningful, and there were enough studies for them to make a strong recommendation. However, they downgraded the recommendation to sufficient to account for the heterogeneity in their decision. So now I'll quickly just go through the AE. This is the same body of evidence table. It's a smaller body of evidence than for CRR. Again, all of them are of greatest suitability to design, and they fell into the good and fair quality of execution. So as indicated by our analytic framework, there are different primary outcomes that we expect AE to influence as opposed to CRR. So I just listed those that we expect AE to have an influence on this table. For sexual activity and frequency of sex, we see favorable reductions, but the only sexual activity had a statistically significant, the effect estimate was statistically significant only for sexual activity. We were very cautious about the pregnancy outcome because when we did sensitivity testing, we found this to be an unreliable effect estimate. And the sexual transmitted infections outcome had an OR close to one or no effect, and it was not statistically significant. Here are the results for the secondary outcomes, and as we predicted from our analytic framework, there was not really an effect for any of these for the AE interventions, and none of them were statistically significant. So here is the same table again, but the results on this table are a lot different than the ones for the CRR interventions. We see across the board that for all of the outcomes, there are larger effects for non-RCTs compared to the RCT studies. And for the only outcome where we had a substantial number to make a comparison, a substantial number in each category to make a comparison, the sexual activity outcome, this difference between RCTs and non-RCTs was statistically significant with 0.007 p-value. So here's just a visual representation of the sexual activity outcome. On the top in yellow are the non-RCTs, and you can see they have a 0.66 odds ratio, and they're very much scattered across the plot, as opposed to the RCT studies, which are show close to no effect and are hang more closely together on the plot. So because of the differences between RCTs and non-RCTs, that we had from our systematic review. So the difference between RCTs and non-RCTs didn't only differ by study design, but the same investigators were in each group. There was no crossover between investigators. The follow-up times were a lot longer for the RCTs, and there were a lot of other problems that we could not find a reason for these differences. So the task force concluded insufficient evidence to make a recommendation for AE. So I just want to point out that this is not a recommendation against. This is insufficient evidence to come to a conclusion to make a recommendation for the AE interventions. So as I flew through that, does anyone have any questions? It was 4.5 hours in the real presentation, so. Does anyone have a, yes? No, the paper is written. It is being reviewed by our statistician now, and then it'll go into CDC clearance and come out at some point. But the if you go to the community guide, thecommunityguide.org, the recommendations are posted on our website with the rationale statement that provides some additional information. Yes?
You did a great job. I'm just wondering if there was a look at subpopulations of adolescents, primarily those at greatest risk are young, gay, bisexual, transgender, MSM males. Were there looking at that between risk reduction?
We did not have, the studies that we included did not provide that information for us. And For the ones that were extremely high risk, we did not have enough to perform any analysis on. But in that group of that age group, especially in the school-based interventions, that information is just not provided. Yes?
Yeah, I noticed that the studies kind of range from 1992 to 2007, and I'm just curious about, did you see any of the content of the intervention change? Because, you know, I'm just trying to remember 1996, when protease inhibitors came in, there was a radical shift in HIV. So was there any content shift in what kind of intervention was provided? Still part of the overall sexuality
Right. We did not look at the content shift, but our beginning date for inclusion was in 1988 to include those studies that, because that was right after CDC identified HIV in adolescents as a problem. So we wanted to capture all studies that were published after that date. So we didn't, but we did not do a content analysis across those years. Okay. Thank you.